communion meditation this morning is entitled, Where Does the Star Lead? And I'm reading from the lectionary, suggested reading for today from the Gospel according to Matthew. I'm reading in chapter 2, the story of the visit of the wise men. Listen now as I read God's word to us today. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. And from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Let us pray as we come to the message today. O Lord, in this new year, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to the paths that you lead us. Give us grace to receive your truth today in faith and love, and give us strength to follow on the path that you set before us. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so as we begin this new year, we begin with a question. Where does the star lead? Now, we know the answer. It leads to the baby Jesus, but not so fast. Before we get to that answer, there are a number of important lessons that we can observe from this passage. First, the Christmas star, the star that led the wise men to Jesus, it led them on a new venture. It was an adventure for those wise men to leave the safety of their homes to track down the prophecies and the place of this king of the Jews that would be born. They had studied about this king that was foretold in the Old Testament prophecies, especially from the book of Daniel, that he would be born under a radiant light. And when they saw the radiant star in the heavens and they studied the heavens, they left their homes and they ventured into the unknown. And so we can think this morning of the wise men as early explorers, and we can think of them even as early scientists who studied and observed the stars with the naked eye. They were people who took a risk. They could have stayed in their studies and observed the star, but they decided to venture out. And the question, the obvious question then for us in this new year is, what kind of risk will we be taking in this new year? What kind of new venture? So often when you read the New Testament, you find that the followers of Jesus had a difficult time to understand what he was saying, or they were afraid to take up some new task or a new attitude. And Jesus is the teacher that teaches us to have a new attitude about faith and life. And he prepares us for the future. If we do not take up a new task, if we do not rise to the next challenge, when this happens, our faith can languish. But a gift of faith that God gives us, it will make us ready for the new venture, the new undertaking that God calls us to take. It will ready us for each new day. And just as it readies us in our lives, it also, we pray, readies us in the church. You know the last seven words of the church, you know them. We've never done it that way before. Perhaps the lesson we observe in this story is we've got to travel in our thinking, in our ministry together as people of faith, if we are to rise up to the challenges that we face in this modern world of ours. And there are many challenges. Perhaps the lesson here is, just as the wise men, we are to be open and ready when God calls us. There was an elderly woman in my home church in Tennessee who died a few years ago, Nevada Coppinger. And Nevada was a wonderful woman. Everyone looked up to her in the church. She was kind of the matriarch of the church. And on many Wednesday nights in the Bible study and the singing we would gather for, if there was an event that was coming up in the life of the church, she would say to everyone present, "We need to get off our rusty dusties and do something." That's a good challenge to us as people of faith. The story of the wise men, it says there is something special that awaits us at the finish in the new venture we either begin or perhaps we are undergoing even at present. Secondly, if we dare to follow the Christmas star as the wise men did, remember it will also lead us perhaps to a new vision for living. Our eyes need to be focused in this new year that's begun, 2020. It seems odd even to say it. I never thought I would live this long. But it calls us for a new vision, to look heavenward and not just be earthbound in our vision. The wise men looked up while most of the world was so engrossed in what was going on around, they didn't even notice the birth of this new king. Don't you feel as I do that from time to time we encounter people who do not have a sense of the presence of God working in life, or that stretches us to high ideals and high values? I meet people like that from time to time, and if we are not careful, we can also become so engrossed in just getting by in life that we forget the vision that God calls us to live to His truths and to the values that never age. Some years ago, I had a funeral for a man in a local funeral home here. As a matter of fact, it was the first funeral I ever conducted as a pastor here, but it was not in this church. It was a local funeral home. I had never met the man, and so I said to his wife in preparing for the service, I wanted to do well, and I said to her, "Tell me about your husband, Mike. Tell me what he was about." And all she could say, she said, "First and last, all I can really say to you, first and last, is that he never missed a Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game." True story. And I thought to myself, were there no higher dreams that this man had? Nothing that called him forward to be his best in life? God calls us to look heavenward. I read a novel recently which described a character in a peculiar way. It described him this way. He was very young when he found his first dime on the road, and he never lifted his eyes again. At the end of 40 years, he had collected 34,947 buttons, over 10,000 pennies, and thousands of pins. And he had a bent back and a terrible disposition. That describes many people we know, doesn't it? I would remind you at the beginning of this new year that the word worship comes from an old English word that's a combination of the word worth and the word ship. And it's meant to call us to proclaim and to give something immense, supreme value in our life. We come on Sundays to honor what is truly worthy in our lives, and that is namely God and God's high call for us to serve others in need. We come to look up to Him, Him who loves us and gave His Son to die for us. Well, thirdly, the Christmas star reminds us of a global visitation upon the earth. There are many things that we do not know about the wise men, many things. But one thing we do know is that they were Gentiles. They probably came from Persia. Scholars believe they were early astrologers who studied the stars with their naked eyes, no special technology. Their visit was one of the first clues in the New Testament that Jesus would be Lord of all nations and of all peoples. He is to be a universal Lord, and we Gentiles are included. Thanks be to God, we are. The wise men, by the way, they almost missed the birth of Jesus. Did you catch that in the story? They saw the star rising in the east. They went to visit this newborn king, and they wound up in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is 9 miles away from Bethlehem. They did not know he would be born in Bethlehem. And so when Herod called all the chief priests and scribes, they learned, because the scribes and priests told the wise men that the prophet Micah foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And then when the wise men ventured out from Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, we are told that the star was there again that they had seen before. Hugh Ross is one of my favorite astrologists. He's also a Christian and a pastor. And on his website, Reasons to Believe, he says, and many other astrologers believe that he's right, that the star of Bethlehem was a reoccurring nova. A nova is just a star that is burning out. And stars that are burning out are almost impossible to see with the naked eye. They are so dim. But a nova like this particular star would have been sucking off hydrogen from other nearby stars, and ever so often, every few years or every few decades, it would burn brightly all of that gas, and it would shine in the sky. The wise men had seen the star. They followed where it led them, to Jerusalem. And then we're told on the way to Bethlehem, it was burning again, perhaps several years later. Remember, in this new year, the goal that you are seeking may just well be around the corner. You're close, but not there yet. Keep pressing on. And perhaps one of the most valuable lessons from this story is what the wise men learn and what we learn. That when we're not sure, study the scriptures, for they lead us to Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, Monday, on the church calendar, is called the Epiphany of the Lord. Epiphany means to make clear, to make known. And what is revealed by the coming wise men is that Jesus is not just the Savior of the Mideast. We join with Russians and Scandinavians and Canadians and French and Germans and Italians and Spanish and Christians in Central and South America and Latin America and Africa and Korea and in Iraq, and on it goes, even to Republicans and Democrats and Independents. He comes to all of us. Praise be to God, He does. In the midst of our darkness, He can be the light. Epiphany means that Christ is to be the light of the world, and that He will never be Lord only for our kind and only for our nation. And He welcomes all who visit. No one is excluded. All may come. Fourth, the Christmas star leads us to understand we are to value ourselves, because God surely does. And that should give us in this new year a new sense of self-worth. We are valuable in God's eyes. You know, the stars, they usually don't make us feel big. As a matter of fact, they make us feel inferior when you look up and you see the vast stars in the sky. We can be astronomically intimidated, can we not? And yet the Christmas star leads us to Jesus and reminds us that his birth is for us. The drama of salvation, Jesus' birth, his stellar life, his death on the cross, and his rising from the grave are all for you and all for me. And that's good news in this new year. Such is our value to God. No matter what your situation or station in life, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you look or what skills you may lack, no matter, let no one demean you. And do not demean yourselves. You are of great value. You are the son. You are the daughter of a king. You are the brother or sister for whom Christ died. And so why not travel this year by following that Christmas star where it leads you? For today, I can tell you where it leads us. It leads us over that table, the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where the star leads. And if we follow him, he will lead us into a new venture, and he will go with us into that venture. He will give us a new vision. He will give us a sense of visitation to all and a renewed sense of our self-worth in God's eyes. The Christmas star, it does lead us to him. Him who is the Lord of heavens, he is the light we follow in spite of the darkness of this old world. Praise be to God, the star leads us. Amen.